He won't let what will come. Father, thank you for this moment. I thank you for every life here tonight. Thank you for making a way of escape. For the various situations in the lives of people. Thank you for showing us the way out. Thank you for not allowing what will collapse us to confront us. Thank you for not allowing what will conquer us to confront us. Thank you. Thank you. We worship you, Lord, because this message in the music, in the song alone, is what someone needed here tonight. And I thank you because answers are coming. Be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Give him the praise. Put your hands up. Give him the praise. Please be seated. Welcome everyone here this evening in the precious name of Jesus Christ. It is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad. Somebody say, God is making a way for me, and good things are happening for me every day and in every way. In Jesus' name. James chapter 5 and in verse 16. James chapter 5 and in verse 16. The Bible said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer. We are speaking on the part two of our subject from last week. The forces of effective prayer, part two. Forces of effective prayer, part two. Hallelujah. Last week we began to see those forces of effective prayer, and we saw four of those forces. Number one force we saw was the solid stand of righteousness with God. That if our prayers must be effective, we must have a stand of righteousness with God that is solid. Number two was the knowledge of God. That knowing God is critical to answer to prayer. See, that commit to God must believe that He is, that God is real. Number three was vibrant faith in God. Rather, the knowledge of God's will, the knowledge of the revelation of God's will and word. If we pray in accordance with His will, He hears us. Number four was vibrant faith in God. Without faith, it is impossible to move God. It was very, very intense last week. And we shall go further. Number five today is passion and fervency of heart. Passion and fervency of heart. If anyone's prayer will be answered, the prayer must be fervent and the prayer must be passionate. James chapter 5. Verse 16 said, the effectual fervent prayer. Prayer must be fervent. Prayer must be passionate. Effectual fervent prayer. In Romans chapter 12 and in verse 11, the Bible said, not slothful in business.
fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Passionate prayer is prayer with intensity. Passionate prayer is prayer with intensity, is prayer with seriousness. Passionate prayer is prayer with focus. Passionate praying is praying with force. The Greek word energeo is a word for fervent. It's prayer that carries spiritual energy. Not necessarily in the shouting of it, or the shaking of the body with it, but in the force that the prayer carries. In the seriousness content, the seriousness quotient of the prayer. That was the kind of prayer Hannah prayed. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and in verse 11, the Bible speaking said, and she vowed a vow and said, "Oh, look, oh Lord of hosts," and so on and so forth. And then you move it to verse 12. It came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. It was such a force-filled prayer. The outcome of it was the securing of divine attention. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36, we saw that kind of prayer Elijah prayed. Prayer that carried force, that carried fire, that carried intensity, that carried fervency. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Hear me, O Lord, hear me." You can feel the force inside. "Hear me, O Lord, hear me." Look at that. "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Keep going. "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench." Many people pray, but it carries minimal spiritual energy. Many people pray with a lot of lethargy. The very words and the spirit behind it is weak. There is no force, no strength, no energy, no seriousness behind it. No wonder most prayers go unanswered. Now take note of three things I will say in this regard. First, divine intervention follows human passion and desperation. Divine intervention. We saw from the life of Hannah. If there is going to be divine intervention, there will be passion and desperation from man. If there will be intervention from God, there must be passion from man. There must be desperation from man. We saw that in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11 to 12. The second is unto it, and that says, it takes fire from the heart to provoke answer from above. Fire from the heart. Effectual fervent. Fervent means it carries fire. It takes fire from the heart to provoke answer from above. Say it another way. It takes fire from the heart to provoke fire from above. James chapter 5 verse 16 made that clear. And of course, 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 36 to 38, the prayer of Elijah made it clear. It takes fire from the heart to provoke answer from above. It takes fire from the heart to provoke fire from above. And number three, nothing glorious happens until someone gets serious. Nothing glorious happens until someone becomes serious. The glory of God that fell in the form of that fire answered to the seriousness of Elijah. Hear me, O God, hear me. Hear me, O God, hear me. Nothing glorious happens until someone becomes serious. We saw that from the prayer of Elijah. Say that again. Nothing glorious happens until someone becomes serious. Another way to say it is, God does serious things only with serious people. Don't forget that. God does serious things. He does serious business only with serious people. You saw how unserious Cain was about life. God could not do anything serious with Cain. You saw how unserious Esau was with life. God could not do anything serious with Esau. God does serious things with serious people. God cannot do serious things with the unserious. And that seriousness goes into the place of prayer. There are people praying serious prayers and still opening the phone to answer. They are in the midst of a prayer, serious prayer. Hello? Sorry, I'm praying. I'll call you back later. That is not a prayer you are expecting answer, right? Is it God you are telling to hold on for you to answer a call? When you are in the midst of matters that are serious, phone is not on. It doesn't matter if it's the president of America that is calling. The president general of the universe has engaged you. There are many people. His brain is chewing gum. And God is watching all these things. Serious matter, you are dozing inside the prayer. Have you ever slept dozed in front of an examiner that is asking you oral examinations? Or in front of an interviewer, you doze and you woke up and say, sorry, I didn't sleep well last night, I was preparing for this interview. After you have prayed, both you and God and the devil will know you prayed. Both you, God, and the devil will know you prayed. We used to pray in those days in the university until your anterior abdominal wall is paining you. You felt it. You felt the pain. Even here, our pastors here felt it. Tonguing for hours. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? This kind of angelic Christianity of these days. I see something happening for somebody here. That is, you are laying hold on the horns of the altar. You mean business. God knows you mean business. You know you mean business. The devil knows you mean business. The first thing is, or the number five is, we must possess passion and fervency. Number six is the heart of love and forgiveness. The heart of love and forgiveness. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. He said, Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses at the place of prayer. Love and forgiveness are capital requirements for answered prayer. Otherwise, Jesus will mention it. In case you want your prayers to be answered, when you stand praying, forgive. If you are praying for religious purposes, you can pray with bitterness. But if it is answers you are looking for, when you stand praying, forgive. What is the implication and why is it important? Three things again. One, love and forgiveness grant love and forgiveness grants us forgiveness before God, guaranteeing answers to prayer. Love or forgiveness grants us forgiveness before God. That guarantees answer to prayers. I want to explain this to you in detail. When you forgive before God, you too, you are forgiven. Then your prayers can be answered. Why? If somebody hurt you and you have not forgiven them, you are so bitter about them, and you come before prayer, maybe they didn't greet you well, maybe they lied against you to somebody, which is very terrible, and you have not forgiven them, when you go before God, where the things you did before, God also wouldn't have forgiven you. So you came before him as a sinner. So you came to pray as a sinner. Have you seen John 9:31 before? Now we know that God heareth not sinners. We know that God heareth not sinners. The brother you are not greeting inside church because he offended you, in the front of God, you are a sinner. Whatever God forgave you of before, he returned them. Yes. He said, forgive us. Forgive so that you may be forgiven. Don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. It's a serious matter. The person lied against you, you didn't forgive him. You cheated in class many years ago. God brings it back. You lied 15 years ago, he brings it back. You committed abortion, he has forgiven you before. But somebody didn't greet you, you are angry. He brings the abortion back. Yo. Can you see where the difficulty lies? Those who are playing with bitterness, you have plenty enemies. You don't know what you are doing. If you like, be as clean as the snow in your own eyes. You are as black as charcoal before God. For as long as you have not forgiven. For we know that God heareth not sinners. You are praying and you haven't forgiven. And you haven't forgiven means your sins are with you. And as your sins are with you, God heareth not sinners. You know Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 and 2. It said the Lord's ear is not shut. It's not deaf that he cannot hear. His hand is not shutting that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities are separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. What are the sins? Not that you are currently committing sin. You have stopped sinning, but you have not forgiven. Your only problem now is bitterness. You are not drinking anymore. You are not womanizing anymore. You are not manizing anymore. If there is womanization, there must be manization. Right? You are not cheating anymore. In your own eyes, you are okay. But there is somebody whose name you hear, you get angry. There is someone whose face you see, you are annoyed. They may have wronged you genuinely. They may have hurt you. There's no doubt. The Bible says offenses must come. It's only when you are not in this world that you won't be offended. It must come. In fact, for this purpose, the devil will send many people to annoy you. All the time. To hinder your prayers. By the time you are through in forgiving this person, another person arises. But we'll deal with that devil. We'll deal with that devil. Forgiveness, love, and forgiveness. Grant us forgiveness before God, guaranteeing us answers to prayers. Don't misunderstand me. There are people you are not holding in your heart, but if you greet them, they won't answer you. That's not your challenge now. Your heart is free towards them. If they want, let them maintain the bitterness. But between you and God, your heart is clear. And neither is it that you are to force yourself to be the friend of everybody. Just exercise your conscience to be void of offense. And go your way. If you will not forgive, for the sake of your spiritual health, forgive. For the sake of the buoyancy of your relationship with God, forgive. For the sake of your need to have answers to prayer, because you may be in the midst of danger, calling unto God, and He's not hearing you because He's seeing you as a sinner. And God is God because His principles are unbreakable. When He told Moses He would not enter the promised land, Moses didn't enter. When Moses begged, He said, "Don't answer, don't talk to me on this matter anymore. Don't go there, Moses. It's concluded. You won't enter. You failed to honor me in the eyes of the people. You took my glory, you shared it with me. Joshua will make them to enter. Go to this mountain, there you will die." Moses was a friend of God. God spoke to him face to face, as a man speaketh to his friend. When last did God speak to you? As a man speaks to his friend. Yet He could deal with Moses like that. It's becoming more serious, more frightening. But by His grace, we'll make it. Now, this is one of the subjects that we must deal with in church. Because bitter people are plenty. Plenty. Shake hands with 7 people and tell them, "Your doors are opening. Congratulations, your doors are opening. Your doors are opening. Your doors are opening. Your doors." He's selecting the handshake. He wasn't looking. So when he looked up and saw that he's the wrong person, he moved. Very, very plenty in departments. People who can't greet each other for one mini reason or the other. Micro reasons. We'll make it. Say a louder amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Now, why is love and forgiveness important in answer to prayer number 2? Love confirms, or rather, increases the potency of our faith. Potency. Because the Bible said, faith worketh by love. Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 6. Faith worketh by love. The man who walks in love will walk in a higher level of faith than the person who walks in bitterness. That's confirmed. Faith worketh by love. And of course, your faith determines your answers. Faith worketh by love. Or love gives rise to the potency of faith. And the potency of your faith gives rise to the potency of your answers. Because he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. Our faith is working by our love. This is the equation. Love makes faith to work. Faith makes prayer to work. That's the straight line. Love makes faith to work. Faith makes prayer to work. Very, very important. Number six, the third reason for forgiveness and love is that love releases in us the nature of God. It releases in man the nature of God, which is the nature of possibilities and the nature of the supernatural. Love releases in man the nature of God, and that nature of God is the nature of possibilities, is the nature of the supernatural. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to verse 8. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to verse 8. He said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. He carries the nature of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. When you carry the nature of love, you are kind to everybody. You are generous. You wish everybody well. You have the welfare of everybody in your heart. You are forgiving, not bitter. You are activating the nature of God. That nature is the nature of possibilities. That nature is the supernatural nature. It will make your prayers to bring supernatural results. It will cause you to see possibilities where there have been impossibilities. Somebody say amen. Somebody say aloud amen. Somebody say aloud amen. So the fifth thing we have dealt with, this number one today was passion and fervency of heart. Number two is the heart of love and forgiveness. And thirdly, which is number seven now, is the heart of joy and praise. Joy and praise. I want to say something tonight. The attitude of human depression can never secure divine intervention. When you have refused to be happy, divine intervention is not secured. If you look at the Bible says when Eli asked Hannah, what is it? He said, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit, of a bitter spirit. For as long as that remained, the womb remained closed. The answer remained unreleased. But in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible said her countenance was no more sad. Verse 19, and the Lord remembered Hannah. In one verse, the countenance was no more sad. In the next verse, God remembered her. Have you seen Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 20 before? When I saw it, I thought I didn't see it until I saw it again. For he shall not much remember the days of his life. Solomon was talking about the different people he was talking. He said, because God answered him in the joy of his heart. answers people in proportion to joy. If you like, squeeze your face like a bulldog that is poisoned. You are playing. You know how beautiful bulldog is. Then he drank poison on top. God, look at the guy man. He's looking at you with his fine face. God answered him in the joy of his heart. So no joy, no answer. Have you ever seen me step into healing and deliverance service? The moment, in fact, most times before any testimony is shared, we're already celebrating. By the time the first one started, we started jubilating. It's increasing, it's multiplying. And as we are dancing and jubilating, more explosion. In the midst of some of our explosion here, somebody stands from the wheelchair and is walking. Am I communicating? God answered him in the joy. Hola, hola. I have made up my mind not to be down. You know, I receive messages from almost everybody, including people who are not members of this church, including people of the other religion. All manner of messages, challenges. If I open my phone, there may be 5,000 unread messages yet. Are you following what I'm saying? At times I pray on all of them in block. Lord, you know the answer of all these people. Once in a while, God leads me to just check someone. And then I'll say, oh, gasping for breath now. This is happening now. All manner. There are things you heard just before you stepped into service that have the capacity to scatter the message. And then you just stepped in and you are so calm. And when the music starts, you start shaking leg. And then the devil is dying. The devil is just dying. He's just dying. He's just dying. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Just like forgiveness. Since the devil knows your joy is tied to many things, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord keeps you in the presence of God. Since the devil knows your joy is tied to many things, including your answers, he attacks your joy. Somebody say amen. Amen. My wife, my children, and those around me, they laugh all the time. The other day, one of my children wanted, oh, Daddy, this, can I just record this? Just calm down. Mommy said, her mother said, calm down. Just enjoy your life. Because it was a humorous scenario. That is how to live. Somebody said, oh, you're looking young all the time. That attitude is necessary. Am I communicating? When you maintain, when you sustain tension, it destroys your system. Absolutely. Hypertension. Serious. Oh, it's tension. That is hyper. That is excessive. Too much tension in the eye causes blindness. Yes. Am I communicating? Look at your neighbor and say, are you looking for answers? Release joy. Shout hallelujah anyhow. Shout hallelujah anyhow. When the devil comes your way, rise up and praise the Lord. Shout! Hallelujah! Anyhow! Ay, 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 ay. Shout! Hallelujah! Anyhow! Hey! Shout! Hallelujah! Anyhow! When the devil comes your way, rise up and praise the Lord! Shout about. In your family, you will have something to shout about. In our nation, Nigeria, we shall have something to shout about. When that devil comes your way, give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise as you take your seat. When the devil comes your way, lift your voice and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Take your seat. Joy and praise. Why is it necessary? Number one, joy and praise. Joy and praise are your access pass. Access pass into the presence of God. Psalm 100 verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Then you come before his presence with singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, verse 4. And into his courts with praise. They grant you access into the presence of the Lord. And I think asking is meaningful in the presence of the person you want to ask something from, isn't it? It's meaningful. It's reasonable. Can you imagine somebody is not with a phone? And he stands somewhere and says, friend, please, I want you to give me some 500,000 naira there. I need to do something right now. And they say, who are you talking to? Say, I'm talking to my friend. He say, where is he? He says, he's in a Lekki side in Lagos. Where are you? I'm in Piakasa, Airport Road. Who are you talking to? My friend in Lagos. What platform? I'm talking to him now. He should be hearing me there. What will you do to such a person? Just arrange him to a psychiatrist. Something is happening to his mind. The Bible says, outside, without joy, without praise, you are talking to God at a distance from him. You are not in the place where you can talk to him. You are not in his presence. That is why joy is critical. In his presence is fullness of joy. If you can carry fullness of joy, you can't lack his presence. And if you don't, that's Psalm 16 verse 11. And if you don't lack his presence, request is effortless. Second reason is joy and praise are expressions of faith in God. They are expressions of faith. The excited person is saying it is well or it shall be well. The joyful person, the praiseful person is saying it is well or it shall be well. I am happy, I am excited because the devil has no option. The devil is not in control of my life. In Romans chapter 4 verse 20, the Bible said concerning Abraham, he was strong, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. And what did that strength of faith do? He was giving glory to God. Joy, praise. It is a determinant of your strength of faith. When you see somebody that cannot rejoice, he does not believe. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8. He said, when we believe, we rejoice with joy unspeakable. With joy unspeakable, full of glory. It is a confirmation of our belief. It's a confirmation of faith. And when God sees faith, he goes into action. He sees you excited when the devil wants you to be crying. He sees you jubilating when the devil is expecting the opposite. He moves God into action because when God sees faith, he moves. Even with or without your prayer. Thirdly, joy and praise are keys to the dismantling of obstacles. The things that will be obstacles to your prayers, the dismantling of obstacles, and divine intervention. He said, God answered him in the joy of his heart. I ask you a question. There was a wall of Jericho. What brought it down? What brought the wall down? Joshua chapter 6 and in verse 20. When they shouted. Just the shout of joy. It was not even prayer yet. Just the shout of joy. The obstacles collapsed. There is somebody here. If you can just give one shout right now. Every obstacle to your destiny. Every obstacle to your miracle. Every obstacle to your resources. Every obstacle to the anointing you are trusting God for. They shall be collapsing right now. They shall be dismantled right now. They shall be falling down right now. If you are shouting, shout the loudest, amen. Give him another shout of victory. Another shout of victory. Very, very important. There are people who move as if obstacles don't exist. I like you to get this weapon. Joy is a choice, not a gift. Though the fig tree fail to blossom, I will rejoice. Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 18. Yet I will rejoice. From verse 17 verse 18. I will. Not that I feel like rejoicing. Not that there's anything that makes me want to rejoice. Everything was not working, but I will rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Philippians chapter 4 verse 4. Again I say to you, rejoice. That is, rejoice. Look at your neighbor, say rejoice. Don't just rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice over and over again. You shall go. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth singing. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 12. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And when that happens, mountains will scatter, hills will scatter. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth singing. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth singing. And all the trees, all the fields shall clap their hands. Somebody give the Lord a clap. And all the fields shall clap their hands. The name of the Lord abides forever. So I'd like you to do two things. You are going to give a shout and also a clap. And let every mountain that is standing around your life tonight, standing around our nation tonight, standing in your family, be uprooted. Everything standing in your front, give the Lord a clap and a shout. Hey! And all the fields shall clap their hands. The name of the Lord shall be forever. And all, keep clapping, keep shouting. The name of the Lord shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth. Keep clapping, shouting. Be joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Clap! I see something has happened, something has collapsed. A mountain has collapsed, a wall has collapsed, an obstacle has just been dismantled. Can you pray in the spirit for just 2 minutes? In our nation, a mountain has collapsed, a mountain, a wall. Thank you. and a shout of praise. Take your seat 1 minute as we trust the Lord to finish this matter tonight. Our first number one was a solid stand of righteousness with God, which we saw last week. The knowledge of God was number two. The knowledge of God's word and will. Number three, vibrant faith in God. Number four, where we stopped last Wednesday. And then passion and fervency of heart. And then the heart of love and forgiveness. And then the heart of joy and praise. And finally tonight, the heart or the attitude of patience. There are prayers that the walls will collapse on the spot. And there are situations where patience is needed. Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 12. The Bible said that you be not slothful, but be followers of them who through faith, and not only faith, patience, inherit the promises. After all is said and done, patience is required for answers. After all is said and done, patience is required for answers. You see what Job said in Job chapter 14, verse 14? He said, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. That waiting is patience. That waiting is not doubt. That waiting is not unbelief. In James chapter 5 verse 11, James was referring to this patience of Job. He said, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and you have seen the end of the Lord, or how the Lord ended with him, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. I'd like you to know three things about patience. First, patience confirms the potency and authenticity of man's faith. It confirms the potency and the authenticity of man's faith. That your faith is potent, that your faith is not fake, that your faith is authentic, is confirmed by patience. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 12, the Bible said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Faith is the twin of patience, and both of them can have this same definition: persuasion beyond dissuasion. Conviction that is persuasion beyond dissuasion. Whether the result came immediately or the result came eventually, you are persuaded beyond being dissuaded. Patience means you are not shifting ground. You are not giving up. Because you are persuaded beyond dissuasion that what you are expecting is coming. You are not giving up. You are not shifting ground. That is patience. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 to 39. I'd like you to, when you go back and read this passage very, very well. He says, cast not away therefore your confidence. That is patience. You were confident, that is faith. You refuse to cast away the confidence, you have entered patience, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience. After you have done the will of God, you have prayed all the prayer you can pray, you have done everything you need to do, you still have the need of patience so you can receive the promise. For yet a little while, it's not going to be too far. and he that will come will come. The miracle will come. The answer will come. The husband will come. The children will come. The opportunities will come. The desired mantle will come. He that will come and will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by his faith. But if any man draw back, that is now shifting from patience, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. He said, but we are not of them that draw back into destruction, but we are of them that believe until our souls are saved. We believe to the saving of the soul. We believe until we have seen his deliverance. We believe. Somebody say aloud, amen. I'd like you to understand that patience is not tolerance of affliction, but firmness of expectation. That I am patient does not mean I am tolerating affliction. It is firmness of expectation. Patience is not spiritual weakness. It's spiritual firmness. That is why one of the fruit of the Spirit is called patience. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. We are not patient in affliction. We are patient in active expectation. While you are waiting, you are charging up your faith. Charging up yourself with light. Somebody say amen. Somebody say louder, amen. Patience confirms the potency and authenticity of our faith. Number two, patience keeps us in faith expectation until the appointed time for manifestation. You are kept in faith expectation until the appointed time for manifestation. Because there are certain expectations that are time specific. They are time sensitive. They are time bound. There are things that God wants to do at a certain time. That is, no matter how much you pray now, it won't happen until the time comes. For example, John the Baptist cannot be born until Jesus is about to come. Elizabeth, and you are the one to born John. You are asking for John now. He can't come now. John will come, but not now. The time for John to come is about 6 months before the Messiah will come. Elizabeth, you are not a doubter. It's just that your miracle is time specific. There is something, a realm of power, a realm you are asking for. And God said, this time is tied to time. Job said, I will wait until the appointed time. So there was an appointed time. Job 14:14. All the days of my appointed time, I will wait. Genesis 18:14, God told Abraham, at the appointed time, I will return. And Sarah, I will return unto thee. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 3. The vision is for an appointed time. There is something you are seeing that God will do in your life, but it has a time to it. Galatians chapter 4 verse 2. The heir, as long as he is a child, is kept under tutors and governors until the time appointed. Hola, hola. There is a mystery about the appointed time. It's a mystery. About the appointed time. Now, it is patience that makes you not to miss the time. When people lose patience, they miss visitations. When people lose patience, they miss their visitation. For example, if Zechariah did not go to the temple because he was tired, I'm tired of serving God. My wife is still barren. Then that day that the angel was to visit him in the temple, he would have arrived there and Zechariah was not there. You remember that woman that was bound in Luke chapter 13 that walked like this for 18 years. She kept on going to church for those 18 years. Probably expecting that one day God will visit her. And that day came. And Jesus was in the synagogue and looked in her direction and said, "Woman, thou art loosed." Luke 13 from verse 10, 11, 12. And she stood upright. If she lost patience, she would have missed that visitation. Am I communicating? Do you know the other thing that happens when people lose patience for the appointed time? They organize regrettable alternatives. Regrettable alternatives. That is how people marry those people they are not meant to marry. "Lord, I'm tired of waiting. If you won't give me a husband this year, I will give myself a husband before November." Then they just move and move and move. And then the first joker that arrives. "How are you, girl?" "I'm fine." "What is your name?" "Name." I don't want to call anybody's name so that they don't say I'm talking to them. "How old are you?" "Old." "Can I have your phone number?" "Any day." "How many numbers do you want?" "I have 3 phones." Before you know it, a relationship has started. Before you know it, he has organized an alternative. Meanwhile, the real man was on the way at the appointed time. Maybe there is something God was dealing with in her life or in the man's life. Because there are people that God has prepared for you, but you are ready for them, but they are not ready yet. And God wants to deal something in their lives. So it's possible for a young girl to pray, "Whoever is my husband, wherever he is, Father, prepare him on time and let him be on his way. And prepare me if there's anything lacking in my life that is preventing me from being sighted." Am I communicating? Was that not what Abraham did? He could not wait for Isaac to come. He did private practice. And then had relationship with his handmaid, gave birth to Hagar, which we have on earth with us today. We gave birth to Ishmael. The other one, he just organized it. What a merciful God. But God still brought Isaac. But the mistake began to persecute the miracle. Somebody say amen. Lift your right hand and say, "In the name of Jesus, what pertains to me," say it with audacity, "what pertains to my life must come in this season. And I shall wait." Leave your hands again and say it. Let us say, "In the name of Jesus, what pertains to my life and my destiny in this season must come, and I shall wait." Take your seat. I have so much to say tonight, but I need to finish this thing tonight. Do you know when Samuel told Saul, "Wait for me. 7 days, I will come and offer sacrifice." It was a battle between the Israelites and the Philistines. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 8 to 10. Saul waited until 7 days. Let me say 7 days in the morning. Once Samuel said, "By the 7th day, I will come." Saul waited for 7 days in the morning or in the afternoon. He said the Philistines were on him, and he bowed to the pressure of people and offered sacrifice as a king who had no mantle of a priest. He had no business with sacrifice. The moment he finished, Samuel arrived. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offering. Now, start from verse 8. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. That must be a test that God was giving him. And Saul said, bring me hither a burnt offering to me and peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. This is the saddest passage you will ever see. And it came to pass, as soon as he has made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. The rest is sad. Who told you to offer the sacrifice? You didn't honor God? God has rejected you. I told you 7 days. Has the seventh day ended? Is it 12 midnight of the seventh day? Didn't I come on the seventh day? I have come on the seventh day. You just finished the sacrifice and I have arrived. This is 7 day. Look at your neighbor, say, don't miss God through impatience. Look at somebody, say, don't act in ways that will make God reject you. But say to that person, say, in the name of Jesus, the grace to do right is released upon you. Somebody say, amen. Finally, patience, which is another word for resistance, or rather, persistence. Patience, persistence, wear out resistance. Persistence wears out resistance. When you stand and you refuse to shift, the devil and his wizards will shift. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 22, they kept on resisting Isaac, and Isaac kept on persisting. And then he came finally, and he removed from this and digged another well. And for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. They resisted him, he resisted them, he persisted, until the resistance died. And results came. Hannah kept on going to Shiloh. Kept on going for the yearly sacrifice. No answer. But she kept at it. Then one day, she prayed. Made a vow. And God answered. That woman that I just mentioned kept on going to the synagogue. And one day, her answer came. Somebody say amen. If you don't give way, the opposition will give way. Those who work with me here, in this ministry, they know that when I say that this is what I perceive and this is what must be, it is only the devil that will give way. There was something that we're working on regarding certain rights and so on. When we approached relevant authorities, we were told that only this or that was possible. Right? Let's say 1/5 of whatever I knew was possible. Many of them were convincing me, oh, something is better than nothing. You are guilty of it. Something is better than nothing. So if this will be okay, I said, no way. This is what we are getting. And then you say, can you get this? No. For me, nobody could stop it. Nobody, no mortal man.
The faith was there. The patience was there. The audacity was there. Firmness was there.
Eventually, consequently, ultimately, and at last, say, it was it's made possible. I say, why not? I saw possibility since. I refused to shift ground. Life is full of lessons. Universe is university. Hey! The reason why you have not seen possibility is because you have not released persistence. If you stand and you refuse to give way, that thing facing you will give way. Tonight is your night. Have you received something? Stand up on your feet. I have preached to you light from scripture and also practical life. Practical life. Somebody say amen. Somebody say louder amen. Somebody say louder amen. Look at your neighbor. Say your faith will win. Say your faith will win. Just maintain your stand. Remain firm. Your faith will win. Stand up on your feet. Give the Lord the praise one more time. I'd like us to celebrate this service for 3 minutes. But before we do that, lift your hands and thank the Lord for what you have received. We're going to celebrate God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Celebrate the light. Celebrate the revelation. Celebrate the revelation. Celebrate the touch of God, the move of God for the next 3 minutes. Lift your hands and praise Him. Honor Him, adore Him. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Adonai, thank you. Elion, thank you. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say louder, amen. Somebody say the Lord must say amen. Shake hands with 7 people. Don't dodge anybody. Shake all the hands. Shake hands with 7 people. Tell them, get ready for a new beginning. Get ready for a new beginning. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Celebration for 3 minutes.
We praise your name. We give you all praise.
a time God answers prayers you have not prayed now. You prayed before. That was what he told Zechariah. Your prayers have been answered. He wasn't praying at that time. It was prayers he prayed before. I am anointed to announce to somebody that prayers you prayed before today have just been answered. Hey! There are things you were trusting God for before today. You are not praying a fresh prayer now. You prayed it before tonight, but it just got answered. You know what you are going to do? Lift your hands and receive your answers. Father, I receive my answers. I receive my answers. I receive my answers. I receive the answers to those prayers I prayed before today that you have heard. I receive my answers. I receive my answers. Open your mouth and receive it. Jesus, 1, 2, 3, you scream, I receive. And place the hand on yourself and receive those answers. God knows them. Some of them are in your heart right now. Some answers of the 7-day prayer and fasting we just finished. Some answers of the January fast. Some answers you've been looking for forever, or for as long as you can remember. Just now, released. Some it will translate into physical instant healings right now. Physically stand deliverances and miracles. Lift your hands when I say in the name of Jesus. You scream, I receive. And begin to bless in tongues. While you scream, I receive, you place your hand on yourself and receive it. Father, let the answers happen. Let the answers happen.
In the name of Jesus.
Are you ready? Lift your hands and receive it. In the name of Jesus. Overnight, I prophesy divine encounters, divine visitations, change of story. I see divine healing. Somebody's indigestion is gone. Peptic ulcer disease, asthma is gone.
Hormonal imbalance is gone. High blood sugar just disappeared. Eyesight condition that is not seeing well is just gone. Mysterious losses, things are missing from your life all the time. That devil just got arrested. You keep on missing opportunities. Door was just about to open and then it closed again. You almost shared a testimony, then it disappeared. Today is the end of it forever. That ancestral curse of rise and crash just disappeared right now. That young lady covered with a black garment so that nobody sees you for the sake of marriage, that garment has just been set on fire. That man trusting God for that mantle in your life is released. The spirit of confusion just disappeared. Spirit of distraction. Your mind is not able to focus to pursue a thing to a tangible conclusion. Today, I arrest that devil, is returned back to hell. Somebody's ankle has just been healed. A liver condition has just been cleared. Hepatitis is cleaned out. Kidney diseases are cleaned out. Thank you, Father. Lift your hands and give Him the praise. Give Him the honor. Give Him the adoration. You are here today. Something happened to you just now. Quickly step forward and let us know what it is. Give them a big clap as you take your seat. Something happened to you. Maybe a word was mentioned and it pertains to you. Maybe you got a healing, a deliverance. Yes, step forward here. Something happened to you. Something you want us to know about. Just very, very quickly. Father, we thank you. Father, we honor you. Oluwa, etobi, etobi yo, etobi. Oluwa, etobi, etobi yo. Or maybe God gave you an encounter. So senita le fisha. Those who have not yet come out, you can remain there because of time now. What happened to you? You have not been sleeping, but now the leg is free. Give the Lord a big clap for this mama. It's over. Come, young man. What happened to you?
I have digestive issue, peptic ulcer. I came in from Kaduna.
Oh, wow.
I've been suffering for the past 2 weeks, but as you just mentioned it, I believe
digestive issues and peptic ulcer. Give the Lord the praise. God mentioned it specifically. It is healed permanently in Jesus' name. We'll move faster because of time. What happened to you?
Before I got to evangelize this morning, one of my tentacles was paining me. It was not paining me, but after I got to evangelize this morning to come back.
And what happened just now? Testicular challenge just got healed. Yeah. Lift up your hands. Father, thank you because it is gone. Power, what happened to you?
You have lost things all the time. Every day, if I drink it, drink something.
Something is missing. And what happened now?
It will be lost. And at the moment, you make sure that the power of God landed.
It is over. Every mystery of loss is over. Yes. If you have taken them, you can also mention them.
Esther, Joseph, she's pregnant and due for delivery. The doctor said the baby was too big and that she cannot deliver naturally. And baby stopped moving. They couldn't go for the surgery because of that, because of fear of being passed with the knife. Then she came to serve this evening, trusting God for a touch. Suddenly, baby started kicking in fiery declaration.
Baby started kicking. So return back to the hospital now. Father, in the name of Jesus, baby is alive, and there shall be no
painful ankle healed. Painful ankle healed.
Painful ankle healed. Your testimony is permanent in Jesus' name. Amen. What happened to you?
You spoke about answers. I lifted my hands and from the heavens I just saw a long list of paper, like answers, long. I was holding it.
You saw a long list of answers coming from heaven the moment it was mentioned. In the name of Jesus, it is done. It's done. It's done.
Sir, she came with a terrible pain on this side and she felt her kidney or liver. Everything has gone.
Felt like kidney or liver is afflicted at night. It's all healed. Give the Lord the praise.
He said he constantly eats in the dream. And as the prayer went on, he saw something left him.
Something left him. Every demonic deposit in your life is gone forever.
He was talking about healing too. He said he trusts God that his word was mentioned. And
thank God for the healing.
Hormonal imbalance.
Oh, yes.
He said as he heard it, he felt a cool sensation. And he knows she's healed.
Wow, give the Lord a praise. Go and check your hormones again, and it is healed forever.
Indigestion that affected his breathing. And he said as the word came, his breathing became free instantly.
Incredible, give the Lord a praise.
Liver condition, sir. And he felt as the word came.
And me as well. Yes. Step over here. Go and check yourself and check your liver enzymes. Power of the Holy Ghost.
Promotion, sir. Her own is liver issue, sir. And she felt, she knows that she's healed and she's gone to the test.
In the name of Jesus, the liver is healed. Permanent in Jesus' name.
Heart failure, liver condition that defied all medications. She had been rejected from the hospital. She couldn't walk by herself. She cannot talk. But as the word went forth for 4 years.
For four years.
Solid years.
Heart condition, liver condition, can't walk by herself, couldn't talk.
As the word went forth, said, saw a bill left her.
A bill left her.
And her voice opened.
And her voice opened.
Yes, sir. And she cannot stand by herself.
Oh, my God. For 4 years. Who are you? Is that a mother?
Sister.
Or sister. Baby, say Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I am healed.
I am healed.
Go, you tormenting devil of death. Somebody stand up on your feet. Place your hand on yourself and say after me, every stranger in my life. Tonight is your expiry day. Oh, you stranger. You are going now. On your mask. Get set. Shall go. Overnight tonight, you will experience answers and you return back with your testimonies. Lift your hands high. Everywhere you are tonight, you are in need of surrender to Jesus, forgiveness of your sins. You want Jesus to be Lord over your life. Pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus. Pray it a minute. Lord Jesus. I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Tonight I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. Forward ever. Backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.